This episode of iRescue Radio is brought to you by ProCPR.org. Online CPR training, when you want it, where you want it.
And welcome back to iRescue Radio. I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
And we are going to be talking about a topic that not only is top medical news, but it's also, I mean, let's just put it this way. Hot topic is certainly an understatement. It's, it's bad.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, and we decided to really commit the whole show to this topic. Because
part of it, until the fashion part of the show.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know.
We're branching out, people. We're going fashion.
That's true.
Because we are the models.
Well,
I'm a slave to fashion.
Look at you and Jody.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are models. No doubt.
Me with my plaid.
Yeah, but it's how you wear your plaid.
Okay.
So, plaid. So let's talk about fashion. Doggone it.
You know, we've described Jody as a man of some girth and a man of phenomenal worth.
Wow.
That's poetry. Wow. That is poetry right there.
Wow.
Yeah. Only one like him on this earth.
Oh, I remember the poems that always have the same rhyming.
Yeah, exactly. Thus, I am no James Taylor.
Dang, he doesn't tear up the turf.
So, Jody.
Dan could write greeting
recently.
Cards.
Yeah. Now, in our part of the world, in our part of the world, it's still a little brisk in the morning.
Yeah. Yes.
A little brisk. Mm-hmm. As in, we actually had a frost warning for 2 days this week.
Yeah, sure.
Jody's been riding his motorcycle in.
How long
on the bike? 30 minutes?
Yeah. About 30 minutes.
Okay. Is it only 30?
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now he's got a wind jammer on it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But it's still...
Yeah, windjammer. Yeah. The windshield.
There's no heater blaring out on him, right?
When it's 38 degrees.
It's like a 1968 Volkswagen Bug heater.
At the best, it cuts down on wind chill.
Rain or shine.
Yeah.
Jody's on this
motorcycle. He's on the bike,
I'm a hardcore rider.
Okay. Roy and I couldn't take it. We're staring out the window at the back tire of this bike, and we say... Ye gads, the boy needs tread.
Just happened to be raining that day.
It just happened to be raining that day.
Mm-hmm.
And you even stopped on the way in.
Yeah.
You had to stop.
Yeah, I did.
It was ugly.
It was nasty.
Hydroplaning? Yeah. Monoplaning?
More like getting your face ripped apart by the rain.
Oh, jeez. So much for that wind jammer.
Foliation.
Yeah.
All right? Well,
don't you have a mask?
I didn't have it that day, like a Yahoo, but I do have one.
Yes. And he's been wearing some rain gear of sorts, and it's been weathering, no pun intended.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, it has.
Okay. So, Jody orders up.
I order new stuff.
New stuff. Yeah. I mean, you can see him from the moon.
Yes, it's a nice bright yellow.
It's right here,
we're,
right?
We're looking at it.
We're looking at it.
It's yellow. It's not just hunter yellow.
I wanted to make sure that I was not going to get hit, and if somebody did hit me, it would definitely be their fault.
It's safety yellow.
We have ruled out all fault. Okay. So Jody,
I got it right here.
Orders. What size did you order, Jody?
I wanted to make sure I got something that would cover all my clothes.
Now, you know, it's overalls. It's bib overalls.
Bib overalls
and a jacket.
And a jacket. And I ordered a 5X. What's
5X.
That?
5X.
You know, that's going to cover me.
5X, baby.
I mean, on easy.
Stick it on right now. I want to see it.
No, come on.
Put it on.
He can't.
Okay. No, yes, he will. Come on. Put it on, Jody.
All right. So while he's doing this, he walks into my office with the bib overalls on, looking comfortable. All right, we're going to get the digital cameras out. All right, we're taking pictures as we speak. Now, if Jody was in the shape of a triangle, it would be perfect. In other words, the jacket's a pinch small.
Just a tad.
And yet the bib overalls are perfect.
The bib overalls are more than large enough.
And Jody, what's up with the arms, man?
Well, up the arms? No pun intended.
Yeah.
And he has me put the jacket on, and it fits perfectly. I'm a 1X.
I can barely snap it.
Now, Roy's about a small, okay?
Pump up the jams. Pump the jams.
Now, around his blessed belly, it's fine.
Yeah.
But the shoulders and arms... But
that's because...
Now, Jody and I are slaves to fashion, okay?
That's nice.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
I'm taking it off,
guys.
That's
because his arms are so massive.
It's because your arms are so big, Joe. They're just full of muscle.
5X across the chest,
yeah.
Right?
Well,
and around the shoulders.
4X is what I normally use. 4X. But I got the 5X because I wanted to make sure it'd be more than big enough.
Yeah, but boys, it's plastic.
Now, you can't get out of this thing. As we're talking, it's the kid who is trying to get his shirt off over his head, right?
Jody, he looks like he's trying to do the escape from a straitjacket
thing. Yes, he's doing the Houdini.
The Houdini.
Okay, I'm taking pictures as we speak.
He's trying to get it like out underneath the seat.
Jody is free.
There he is. Houdini's got nothing on you, man.
You know, so that's our fashion topic for the day. If you could all just visualize.
That stinks. Now you got to return the thing.
No, I'm keeping the pants. It's a set. It doesn't come separately.
It doesn't come separately.
Oh. But the pants are perfect.
But his legs will be dry, people.
Yeah, look who's going to be buying a 7X. And then throw we could use them as a flag or a sail.
I'm just trying to figure out.
Pro CPR banner.
Pretty much. I'm trying to figure out who in the world could wear this thing. Because the pants are huge. I mean, huge.
Check the tag.
As in sleeping bag.
Yeah. Where does it say that it was
made? It says right on the coat, 5X.
Where does it say it was made?
Oh, well, you know, probably tight.
I think we all know.
We all know.
Okay. Got a pretty good idea.
Uh-oh. Oh, it's a hole. You didn't just rip the jacket.
That's the ventilation holes.
Okay. No, it's...
Made in...
China.
Chine. You know, Chine has got somewhat of a...
I'd like to see one person in all the billions of people in China that fit into a 5X.
No, well, you know what it is? That's what I'm saying.
I know what it is, though. I'll tell you what it is. Huh. It's built for the portly man. In other words, you're supposed to have a huge... If you look at a 5X, your gut's supposed to stick out...
We're talking beer belly boy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you are supposed to be 5'5".
What are you staring at?
What?
Hey, I resemble that comment.
I resemble that remark. You're supposed to be like 5'5" and have a belly that... goes out a few feet.
Right. You're like, big. I mean, you're big across the shoulders and in the arms.
I can't believe that coat, though. You see how short it was? I mean, it's like...
Yeah,
it's like
completely disproportionate.
Now, the arms might be the correct length.
But the pants are
long. But with the shoulders the size they are, it sucks the arms right up there.
Yeah, that's true.
But the pants, though, are more than long enough. I don't get it.
I wonder what Jody's bicep size is, though.
Don't
ask. If you took a tape measure...
I want to know his chest size.
Huge. It's got... Where's the tape measure? We got a tape measure around here somewhere.
Somewhere. I don't know if I want to subject myself.
I bet you got a 70. I mean, he's got a 72 inch.
He's got feelings.
I bet he's got a 72 inch chest.
No, it's not that big.
Mm-hmm. 72 inch chest. Let's put it out here right now. 72 on the chest.
Wow.
I'll go. And
I'm going to say 20 to 21 on the biceps.
Oh, my.
No, I won't go that. I would suggest, Jody.
All right, hey, maybe that should be our poll question. How big are Jody's arms?
Guess Jody's chest and arm size.
With a plus or minus range of 3 inches.
No, that's way too broad.
No pun intended.
He's big. He's a big man. Well, there's a story about Jody. Well, there's a lot of stories about Jody.
This whole episode's about you, Joe.
Hold on now. Careful.
Well, it's a whole lot more...
His wife's going to call us.
Yeah. Mm. Well, here, let me just tell you. It's not just size. Jody's strong. So, guess the arm size. That's
going to be the poll question.
Yeah.
We're really kind of out of order, but I just think we need to mix it up a bit.
You know what? Can we give him for free? Let's see.
A new CPR jacket?
No, I'm not talking about Jody. I'm talking about the people that guess.
How about a rescue?
That's what I'm saying. We'll send him Jody's jacket.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
You get the jacket. It looked like a...
Ooh-hoo.
How about a rescue key ring?
Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah, if you guess it right.
If you guess it right, you get a free CPR gloves rescue key pouch.
Mm-hmm.
This presumes we actually take the time to measure the boy.
Oh, well, we will.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. It's piqued my curiosity now.
It's piqued mine, too, I'm afraid.
Yeah. 72 on the chest.
No.
20 to 22
Jody's
on the arms.
Lost. Wait. We've discussed this.
Yeah, but after the last week, I may have gained it back.
As I sat there and ate buttered popcorn, you and I completely thought of you.
I had it last night.
Okay.
The whole pan?
Again? I didn't make a big batch. Like I made a...
Big is relative.
Okay.
I think that's the point of this conversation.
I did make a big batch. I did not make a humongous batch.
So you should all be thinking about the vats of popcorn you make for your family.
Well, I think people are probably saying, what's big? Let me just say, I think Jody's big is probably like, you've ever gone to those carnivals and you see, or like the banks, and they've got the whole popcorn maker?
Jody, you're not going to stand for this.
You know,
that's probably,
I tell you.
I think that's big. Am I right?
Well, that's big. You know those little microwave bags?
Yeah.
That's like not
that's
even.
That's a handful to you.
That's right. That's the helping. I'm right.
That's the helping.
It helps not much.
Helping hand.
All right.
All right. So one size does not fit all.
No. Clearly.
That's oxymoron
one
of the day.
One size fits all is a big lie.
Yep. One size. This one size does not fit you. That's for sure.
Right up there with Army intelligence.
Right? Right. Exactly.
Ready or not, it's time for this week's Hot Dab.
So we're going to pretty much dedicate the rest of the show to the hot topic. Mm-hmm. It has to deal with medical, and it has to deal with what's going on in our country.
Society.
Yeah, yeah. This topic is talking about the arrest warrant, and I don't know how many people have been following this. This is a pretty rapidly, it's evolving as we speak.
Right.
This is really crazy. But this is, you know, the headline on this one is arrest warrant issued for mother of Daniel Hauser, 13. Boy is resisting chemo for treatable cancer. This is in Minnesota.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Now, the history on this is that a judge issued an arrest warrant Tuesday for the mother of a 13-year-old boy resisting chemotherapy after she and the boy missed a court hearing on his welfare. The Brown County District Judge, John Rodenberg, also ordered that Daniel Hauser be placed in a foster care home and be sent for an immediate examination by a pediatric oncologist so he can get treated for Hodgkin's lymphoma. You know, this is considered highly curable, but Daniel quit chemo after a single treatment and with his parents opted instead for alternative medicines, citing religious beliefs that led authorities to seek custody. Rodenberg last week ruled that Daniel's parents were medically neglecting their son.
And that's the key. Well, I think the key question is here, the statute of the state of Minnesota versus parental right.
That's the frustration. I look at this article and I'm asking myself, okay, the parents made the decision on how they wanted to treat their son. Okay. Does the court have the right then to make the decision for this parent, for how this parent is going to treat their son? I struggle with that.
You know, we almost didn't do this topic.
Yeah.
I think we should just say that.
Let's just say coworkers in the other part of the building shut their doors.
Yeah. And it isn't so much because we differ in our convictions morally, socially, spiritually. It was because we looked through two different lenses at this particular case, or three, and I became quite disturbed. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe it's because, A, we do things a little different in society. I would consider myself someone who swims a little against the flow.
Correct.
Legal, but
correct.
But not necessarily pop culture to the max.
Right.
And the other side was because medicine is not a practice that has absolutes most of the time. Mm-hmm. Chemotherapy, and I'm not talking about Mercola. I'm talking about real respected journals on American Medical Association, mm-hmm. from time to time, will call into question the efficacy or efficacy, however one wants to pronounce it, of certain treatments mm-hmm. for certain diseases, of which
right.
not the least, chemotherapy has been raised.
Right, I'm sure. Right.
And technology always reveals other truths that we don't have right now. So we have this limited understanding of what chemotherapy is, what it does, how effective it is, the collateral damage it causes people during the treatment. You know, mm-hmm. we cure them of their cancer, but we kill their heart, liver, and mm-hmm. kidneys. Yep. And there are some real ethical
dilemmas
when asking the question, what is the best treatment for diseases?
And it is really compounded when you're not just deciding for yourself.
Correct.
You're yeah. deciding for your child.
Of which yeah. we do all the time.
Yeah. Well, that's that
with
is,
regard to their diet, yep. their society,
yep.
their culture, yep. their mm-hmm. their very being and that's on many
the,
levels.
Correct. That's the point of this article. And that, I think that's really the... When I read this article, as reading it, my issue is the parent is the one who needs to make the decision, not the court. That's where I really struggle. I don't care what that decision is. It's still the parent's responsibility and the parent's right to make the decision for the child. Now, that is a difficult statement to make and is just fraught with all kinds of problems. I understand, because there are parents out there that shouldn't have children.
Even that's a difficult statement.
But I'm, what I'm saying is this case shows exactly the problem with our government stepping or overstepping the bounds.
Well, and doesn't this, and Roy brought this up, and his point's well taken, and does it not go back to the Terry Schiavo case?
Exactly. Yeah. It does, because it's exactly
and
the
if
point.
We can just recap what that issue was.
Well, the smoking gun still is smoking from that. I mean, it's not that far removed that I don't think about it, that Terry Schiavo, who was divorced from her husband, mm-hmm. was actually dictated by the government rule that her husband's wishes was that all life support was pulled. No more feeding tube, no more hydration, comfort measures only. She was supposedly incurable vegetative state.
Mm-hmm.
Parents of Terry Schiavo said, wait a minute, they're divorced. We want her to live. We interact with her. Everybody, you could still look up the videos, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go out there and you look, and clearly she was playing with balloons with her family. Mm-hmm. She was the victim of a head injury.
Right.
And there was some question about that head injury even, and I don't want to get too detective here, yeah. but there was some question about, did it come from an abusive situation in that relationship and so on and so forth. But the end point was the parents wanted to take care of their child, adult child. They were willing to take care of that child. And the government stepped in and said, we're afraid we're going to have to default to whatever the husband wants to do. Mm-hmm. Stand by. Husband isn't a husband anymore. Got a divorce. Mm-hmm. Was remarried, I believe, right?
I don't even know.
They'd have to look up that case. But regardless of that, our government allowed that woman to die
mm-hmm.
before everything was settled.
Yes.
Right. So yeah. it's the question is the role of the government, and it's a wide spectrum.
Yeah.
You professionals have been in homes, as you mentioned,
yep.
where kids were living in squalor, mm-hmm. were yep. being clearly neglected.
Yep. Well, I mentioned this morning, I mean, I've walked into shaken baby syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've treated children that were unconscious but alive with raccoon swollen eyes and bruising behind the ears because their head was shaken like a rag doll
mm-hmm.
yeah.
from an abusive parent or boyfriend or mm-hmm. girlfriend. And been so upset by that I wanted justice for the person who did it. And here I'm having to be torn between getting the police involved and treating this patient that was
right.
on the verge of dying. Mm-hmm. Clearly there are environments that are mm-hmm. unhealthy for children.
Yeah.
What we're talking about in this situation and what really became a question and a concern is the Minnesota state government, is the judge that heard this case truly acting for the best interest of this child and their family, or are they pulling their own weight and throwing their weight around mm-hmm. to say, we believe subjectively that the doctors are right, and we're going to take this choice out of your hands, Mrs. Hauser, and we're going to tell you what's best for your child. When in reality, why can't this parent say, what are my other choices? You know, why do I not have a choice to try an alternative treatment? I'm not sure that we want to subject the child to chemotherapy.
And why am I now a felon because I'm trying to look for the best interest of my children?
Right.
And it would be different maybe if we saw other signs of neglect. The kids are underweight severely. They are living in terrible living conditions. The parents are leaving marks on their backs and on their legs, and there's bruises, and there's reports from neighbors of screams and hollers, and being kids are being locked in there.
Yeah. So there's a lot of we don't know about this story.
Well, right. there is, but there's not a lot being brought out in the story that this is clearly a noted abusive right. family. Right. I mean, right. the family looks like a large family who love their kids and are seeking and are living through a hell on earth right now that their little boy is suffering from Hodgkin's lymphoma. And I'm sure that their first thought is, how do we cure this nasty disease and get our kid healthy again?
Right.
And now we have a woman who has loaded her child because of a threat of having the kid removed from the family and thrown into foster care during this most horrible time because a court has decided that the parents are not looking out for the best interest of the child.
Right.
I understand that the thing that came up this morning was, okay, but they went to more than one doctor, and all the doctors are coming together and saying the best form of treatment for this child is chemo and radiation. And this is potentially curable with, there's a high chance that this kid could be cured with chemo and radiation. And the mother is still saying, no, I don't want chemotherapy. We want alternative. And they're saying, based on our religious beliefs, this is what we want to do. Right. Now, it gets very, very messy when we have a government that can make decisions about personal conviction of families that's not aggressively abusive. And we're talking about pre-life, pre-born life to during life to end of life. I mean, in the whole scope of life, it's in utero, during life, and end of life issues. And they're all very big issues. What are my rights as a patient? What are what are my rights as a parent?
As a citizen.
As a citizen. What if I don't want treatment?
Well, there's the point. I have many times not agreed with my doctor.
Correct.
I'm not going to always say, well, doctor, exactly. I'm going to do everything you tell me to do. I have not agreed with my doctor.
In fact, I'm not sure you ever do what your doctor tells
you. So, Jody, if you had five doctors that said, you must have ACL surgery on your knee.
Yeah.
That's the only solution. And you say, no.
Okay.
And if the doctors say, we got to go to a judge.
Now, then that's exactly the point of this article. Because if it was me, the parent, my son, and my son, we get different doctors to say the same thing, that this is the only thing that's going to work. I have to make that decision, what's best for my son.
Because you are that child's guardian.
That's exactly right.
Period.
Now,
what I they're saying the guardianship has been usurped.
Yes.
That's exactly what's happened.
By a state law.
Yes.
Now, am I saying if I had five doctors saying this is the only thing that's going to work, and if you're going to have any chance of survival, you need to do this. Five doctors told me that, and I say, you know what? I don't believe that. I don't think that'd be a smart decision on my part.
It's still
your
decision. But it's
still my decision.
But this is where they're going to draw the line. They're going to say, but that's your decision over your adult life. Here they're saying this is a minor that cannot make choices for themselves. And this is where the muddied statutory waters come into play.
In the foster care world.
In life, in society, is when anyone is looking out for a minor or someone who is not able to make conscious decisions for themselves. This kind of statutory judgment can happen, because now we get into the philosophical or theoretical argument we got into this morning about, well, when does the government have the right to step in and decide when it's an abusive situation,
particularly the judiciary system?
Correct. Where one judge agrees with the family and another judge agrees with the doctors.
And they would say their recourse is to, you don't like that judgment, take it to the next level.
No, chaos.
You have appellate.
Chaos veritas. I mean, what is truth, though? I mean, I have Judge Joe, and Judge Joe says, geez, you know, I think this is probably a legitimate choice on the religious, based on religious freedom that we have through our God-given rights to make these decisions on behalf of our family members. They're not actively being abusive. They're not actively trying to make the child suffer more. They're trying to look for healthy alternatives. versus Judge Judge Jeannie comes in, and not that I'm picking on a female, but I'm just saying Judge Jeannie versus Judge Joe happens to be the justice that day, and happens to have it out for big families. And I'm making this up a little bit, but I'm just saying, what if that judge's subjectivity is, number one, I don't like you. Number two, I don't like big families because you're taking my CO carbon or my carbon credits. Right?
I understand.
And so then they villainize
and,
this.
And my point in that discussion was that you have alternatives besides a rogue judge making a rogue decision, and that is to take it through the court systems, including Supreme Court of the United States, who should be over and above that. Now, that being said,
and what was my argument?
Your argument was the kid's dying now.
Yeah, you can go ahead and repeal and repeal and repeal, but right now, guess what? He's getting chemo.
Oh, and there's another big issue in that. Who's paying for all that?
Well, their insurances. Okay.
You're not allowed in this conversation.
Not the judges. It's not paying for judges and courts.
Oh, who's paying for the judges? Yeah. You know, our tax dollars are.
Well, how? Though I'm sure the families have to pay for that lawyer. The family has to.
No, it was a state-appointed defense attorney.
It is a state-appointed. Yep. Okay, so it is tax dollar.
Okay, right, go back to your chair.
I'm sorry. But, you know, even though the medical insurance isn't going to pay for everything either, though, there's still going to be a huge bill.
Well, I know. I think it would, in normal
coverages. Well, it sounds like the family was willing to take on the burden of the cost, the cost burden, to seek alternative medicines.
Sure.
Modestly. Including vitamins and other. So the family's not asking the state, and you got to pay for all this alternative medicine. Mm-hmm. They're not, you know, we face this in the homeschool realm.
Yeah.
We want our property tax dollars to pay for our kids' education. We're tired for paying for our neighbor. Yeah. You know, it gets into all of that.
Well, I think what's really bizarre here is normally we have states that are trying to figure out how to not have to pay for additional things.
Exactly.
Here we have a state that's actually fighting to pay more, potentially. Even if it's not state-funded, it's going to be funded by an insurance company, and that's hot topics right now in the state.
Right.
Or federally.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit oxymoronic compared to what we've been trying to figure out. And I think we're coming onto a day where if they're trying to cut costs, they would just say, look, you know what? The percentage of fatalities that come from this, regardless of treatment, is not going to survive. There's a low survivability. So why waste the chemotherapy? Why waste the radiation? Why spend the money on it? So that'll be ironic if we're talking about that, where the state is actually saying, no, let them die. You know, it gets back to a Charles Dickens thing where it says, are there no workhouses? Are there no poorhouses? Well, no, they'll die without. Well, then let them die and decrease the surplus population. That's what Charles Dickens was really trying to get at, is where's our empathy and compassion for human life here? Regardless of for rich or for poor, in sickness and in health. Let's look at the dignity of the human being.
And yet the doctors would claim that's what, if you listen to the article about the family doctor, that is all it seems to be about, is the child's survival potential. Mm-hmm. And he's being removed from the empathy and compassion of the child, but he's not looking at it from the family's wishes.
Sure.
And it
the
is,
whole picture.
This is not black and white.
No, and there's a lot of people that are out there, whether they're anti-abortion or pro-choice, okay?
Right.
That are probably asking themselves this very question. How can a government that supports tax-funded abortions before the baby's born, right?
Right.
Clearly, it's not the child's choice.
Right.
It's the mother's choice.
Right.
The mother can decide the fate of the child in utero. Correct. Legally.
Correct.
They're not a felon.
Right. It's Supreme Court ruling.
And now, because 13 years after the child came out of the womb, the mother's trying to make a choice, but because of a decision of interpretation that the child is now autonomous, suddenly this child should have the right to live regardless of what the parent wants. And I find that extremely
two-faced.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things in this article here, too, is that the parent did. The child did have one treatment. So it's not like the parent said, you know what? I don't want to talk to you doctors. Go away. Mm-hmm. She was listening to the doctors. The child had the first treatment.
Yeah.
But you know what happened to that treatment? I'm sure from from just what I'm looking at down farther and looking at some of the other statements that were made, I'm sure that that treatment was just an absolute, unbelievable, painful, disgusting nightmare for that child, because that's what chemo is like. It's awful. And you feel like you're going to die from the chemo.
And it's interesting. It says Daniel testified that he believed the chemo would kill him and told the judge in private testimony, unsealed later, that if anyone tried to force him to take it, I'd fight it, I'd punch them, I'd kick them.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was miserable for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the parent did do the first treatment. The parent was listening to the doctors, but they're saying, look, there are other things that we can treat this with besides
chemo. Well, I'm sure, as a concerned parent, much like my wife has done about our family diet, does research.
So the parent is not some dummy who is just sitting there going, The parent is doing what she's supposed to do. Yeah.
And is under tremendous, who knows?
And I guess what's disturbing is that before anybody could have a roundtable discussion, before anybody could have a peaceful negotiation, before anybody could get psychological or pastoral counsel, this government ruled this woman to be a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman, out of fear, in my understanding of this, has taken her child before they remove the child by force, which is the worst thing this child... I mean, any doctor is going to tell this family, Daniel needs to be in a peaceful setting. He needs to be 100%. Around people that love him. He needs to be not stressed. He needs to be cared for, loved, nurtured. Let his body help heal.
Yep.
This child is on the verge of dying. If you read the details, this tumor is so flipping big in his chest, it's pushing the chemo port out of his chest. The child is coughing. In my opinion, something this big and this bad in a lymphoma state is so close to being fatal that this parent is going through hell
and
on
is willing
earth.
To risk
she's
departure
willing to
from
die.
Her other children.
She's willing to die for this child.
Yeah.
To give this child the last days of peace. And cannot imagine having their 13-year-old pulled out of their family.
Separated from her home, her husband, her other children.
And any judge or jury or state government that doesn't have the God-given common sense to see that this is a loving, nurturing family and that they are trying to do the best thing for a dying child in the worst-case scenario of their life.
In the heat of the moment.
Is, in my judgment, not acting in the best interest of humanity, and it's a broken system.
Yeah,
That's my stance. Yeah. And this is the epitome of that. And God help us that anybody else fall fate to this.
Yeah.
We need to reconsider what's right and what's wrong in our judicial system. We need to think about who we're electing, and we need to think about our active part in being our brother's keeper. And we talk about this day in and day out about getting involved in people that are in cardiac arrest.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about being our brother's keeper when it comes to getting involved at a car accident and being safe and actually trying to help them. And we say, well, why would we do CPR in first aid? There's nothing in it for me. No. What's in it for the patient? What's in it because that daddy might not make it home to their kids at night? What's in it for that mama who might not make it home to their kids at night, or that daughter or that son? This is all about looking outside of what's our best interest and looking at what's in it for them. And I just find it ironic that we all of a sudden villainize somebody for doing something like this when it's in the best interest of their kid, when we let other heinous crimes go in and out, day in and day out, all the time, and never think twice about it.
Yeah, the significant inconsistencies in our laws.
It's just heinous.
At different stages of life, in different scenarios. And I think a lot of us don't get involved.
No.
Because as we have been discussing this all morning, there are huge aspects to this. This makes you break out of your normal day-to-day. I just came in to type on my computer today.
I know.
And now we're thinking deeply and profoundly, and it's gut-wrenching and it's heart-wrenching. And we don't want that much stress in our life.
No.
We just want our life to go on.
Yeah.
And that's why I think we see a significant lack of involvement in our government, in our community involvement, in our faith life involvement, in our churches and that sort of thing. So
that's right.
There's a lot of reasons. We're humans.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So what can we do about it? Well, we kind of came to the conclusion that maybe we should be talking to our federal representatives. You know, every state has a federal representative
because we're
in
not
Congress
in
and Senate. No, we're not in Minnesota. So we don't have, you know, each state still supposedly has its own sovereignty. If it was in your home state, you could call your local representative and have that be brought up.
Yeah.
We can't do that. So then we felt helpless as part of this federation. So then we said, well, what can we do? How about making it known that this news has hit our ears. Now, it's not our fault that they plastered this all over the front page. And if the media thought it was important enough for the nation to know what was going on,
right.
what is our familial ties in the human race to saying what we think? And I don't care what you think. Maybe you think it's right that the government steps in. Well, tell your representative that. Maybe you think that it's not right that your government steps in. Tell them that and have them go to bat. That's what we hired them for. That's what our tax money is going
for. Send them an email.
Get them an email. Call their office. Yeah, tell them it's come to my attention that I got a brother or a sister who's suffering. Their child's dying from a nasty cancer, and now they're being chased around someone on the lam, like a criminal.
Yeah, somebody just
they're not a dangerous person, and now she's got a felon charge because she didn't show up at a hearing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'll send my senator an email about the high gas prices.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Exactly, because it's hit my pocket.
Yeah, sure, but this isn't my family. Right. This isn't my situation. Right. Oh, not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not yet.
Yeah, just by the grace of God.
So, yeah, it's true. So anyways, hot topic, top medical news, there it is. Well, we've spent a lot of time on this, and so we're gonna deviate a little bit from our normal routine in this podcast, where we're probably going to skip right over the training topic of the day and the poll question. But we'd like to hear back from you. We'd like to know, is this something that is important enough for you to get out of your comfort zone and talk to your local representative if you're from Minnesota, but also your federal representative? And is this something that is stirring your heart as much as it stirred ours here in the studios of iRescue Radio? So from this episode of iRescue Radio, I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
And we'll be coming at you live and recorded next week. Bye-bye.
If you have anything you would like to contribute to iRescue Radio, you can contact us toll-free at 866-661-5701 or visit our website at iRescueRadio.com.
The commentaries in this podcast may not reflect the views of iRescue Radio or any of its sponsors or subsidiaries. iRescue Radio will not be held liable for any damages resulting from the advice given in this podcast.